Good morning, afternoon, or evening, whatever applies to you guys. This is 35 Millimeter Life. I'm your host, DJ, and my amazing co-host, Mike.
Haseyo.
Did you do that one already?
No.
I don't think you did.
I
think
not Korean. I did Japanese.
And our returning super awesome guest star, Chef.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Last
week was great.
It's been 7 days already.
It has. I'm surprised. I'm not surprised, but I'm happy to be invited back.
Of course you're invited back. I'm. You're such a busy guy. I'm genuinely surprised we're able to get you 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, I mean,
like I'm not.
I mean, for you two, I'll clear my schedule.
That's so. What's up. Oh, so nice. Yeah. So and while we're off,
we're gonna go golf too, right?
So, yep. Exactly.
So we got even more time.
So in the last 7 days, we decided that we're all best friends. We like golf. We like video games. We like Star Wars. We're talking about everything. So we're all best friends now. Photography.
I mean, we
talked about photography.
We'll have it all in the intro of this podcast.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not a Niners fan, but I'll still be your friend.
Yeah. We don't have to have the same team.
You are an Aces fan, though. Do you go to the games?
I'm an Aces fan by proxy because I live here.
They're really good now.
They are.
They are really good. They're really good now.
They are good.
Me and my parents go to the games a lot.
Yeah. Actually,
there was that 25-run game recently.
Fudge, dude. I'm not a fan of the Diamondbacks. So once Aces leave, I don't really care, but I'm glad that they're here kind of for a while.
Yeah.
It's cool to have a... Even though they're not like a professional, I mean, they are a professional.
It's a farmer's league right there.
Yeah, they're not like, you know, an A's or a Giants or something like that. It's still cool to have a sports team that you can go to games and get a hot dog, get a beer, something like that.
I know, like, I know Oakland's planning to move here to Vegas. Yeah. I wonder if the Aces are going to switch their minor league team to go to
Vegas, I guess. I think Oakland already has a farmer's league, though. They already have a farmer's team.
They should.
I don't know which one it is. Like, the Sacramento Rivercats, I believe they're the Giants.
They are. They are.
Which is, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Diamondbacks or Giants, especially on the West Coast.
Yeah.
Which one is?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if they'll move to. I don't know.
I don't know how it's going to work out.
I'm just mad the Raiders are here. We went how long without having a professional team, and now we have the Golden Knights, who are amazing.
And they're probably going to win the Stanley Cup Finals.
Dude, they came so close their very first year. And they cherry-picked, too. That's the craziest thing. They cherry-picked with a decent budget and got second place by a goal.
Because I don't really follow hockey, but did they get a bunch of old dudes who were like...
They got a lot of seasoned people.
Yeah.
It was
not
like Shorzy.
Not old dudes, but vets
it was like Shorzy.
Who weren't going to get like a huge contract, but they could still get a little bit out of them.
Have you ever watched Shorzy? The Letterkenny spinoff? It's not a spinoff, but it's about one of the characters. Uh-uh. Have you watched Letterkenny?
No.
All the cool things I said about
you. Sorry to disappoint you.
We're not friends anymore.
Window.
Well, I was going to use a brilliant example, but we can't do it now. Anyway.
You can still use it, and I'll just be like,
that was a good one.
I love that show.
No, he picked up a bunch of vets that have been like, they won the cups. They went to the show. It's Canadian stuff. And people that just, like, some of the players have just stopped doing it for whatever reason, and he just brought them back so they could have a chance to play again.
Right.
And there's some of the, like, the biggest, toughest, don't-give-a-fuck players.
And everybody just gelled, and it was...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they lived in the same house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's how the Knights are going to be... That's how the Knights are.
With right the with the bird. You've seen Shorzy, right?
I've seen Letterkenny.
Okay, well, we're going to have a watch party. So,
there's a lot of things going to happen.
We're gonna go golfing.
Yep.
We're gonna come home. We're gonna watch a few episodes of that.
Yep.
We're gonna go get food.
Yes.
And then we're gonna come back and we're gonna watch more episodes.
All in one day.
One day.
And then we could even have a sleepover after if we're feeling like.
Yay!
Can we do a pillow fort?
Sure.
Yes.
And a pillow fight.
Yeah.
A pillow fort.
Oh wait.
And a pillow fight.
We're gonna build a fort and then build Legos in it.
Yes.
Yep.
I'm super down. And we have to make sure you get them all because I swear to God, if I step on just one of those fucking Legos.
Yeah,
it's the worst feeling ever.
It's like stepping on a Lego.
Oh, my God. Oh,
it's like.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Have you, okay, so the You Should Know podcast.
Yes.
You watch it?
Uh-huh.
You watch it?
No.
It is probably, so that they're in the basement yard are probably my favorite.
They're really funny.
Well, they're really famous, but they have like a very niche audience, but they talk about literally everything. They're both really smart in their own rights. They've been friends since high school, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
They were roommates in college. They played basketball together. They're homies. They consider each other brothers. They rag on each other the entire episode, and they're an hour long each, right? So if you guys get a chance to, and I don't know these guys at all, and
it's called You Should Know.
It's literally called You Should Know podcast.
I should know on
TikTok. I think it's PSH. I think I don't know what it stands for, but it's PSH. I think. But anyway, you have to watch them. They're super, super, super funny. And I derailed myself. My ADHD kicked in. I forgot where I was going with this. That happens all the time.
You said I have a question. You Should Know podcast.
Oh, yes, I do. Thank you. Yep. They ask a question on there that I like to ask a lot of my friends, too, because I'm just genuinely curious. There's a couple. One is Meadowood Mall.
Okay.
locked. All the stores are open, but the outside's locked, and they will not open for 24 hours. You're stuck inside with a full-size silverback gorilla or three black mama snakes. Which one?
I'm going the snakes.
Really?
Dude, it's a gorilla.
I don't. It is.
It's a gorilla,
that's,
man.
But that's the point. I don't get this, because you said gorilla, too,
I
right?
say gorilla,
yeah. I say gorilla. But you know why? I know he's big, right? If he's smashing in Cinnabon, bro, I'm at LensCrafters. You know what I mean? Like, I'm nowhere near.
But I don't think the snakes are going to be as aggressive as a...
Who knows? Well,
is it a maybe they're hungry. Full-grown silverback full-grown, gorilla?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still going snakes.
Bro.
Yeah.
You don't know where they are, ever.
And that's okay. That's okay, dude. Because I'd rather get bit and maybe have, like, a finger taken off than just me on the ground... Silverback gorilla just wailing, just going to town as hard as he possibly can. Because you're dead. Yeah. You take three of those haymakers from him, and it's you're donezo.
So it's interesting you say that, because the other one that I thought was really funny was, would you rather take a fully gloved, in his prime body shot from Mike Tyson?
Okay, or I'm taking second option. Whatever, give me second option. Whatever it is,
exactly what I said. a full size red kangaroo from Australia on his rear tail, 2 feet straight to the chest.
Yeah, take the kangaroo.
Oh,
bro.
Yeah, I'm still taking the kangaroo.
Same. So we did the math. I don't remember the numbers now, unfortunately, but Mike Tyson's punch is like 400 more pounds per square inch than the kangaroo's 2 feet are.
Wow.
And not only that, and we're talking in his prime, obviously.
Yeah.
Some people did the math. Mike Tyson hits you. When he hits you full speed, right, your body burns so much energy from the impact alone, from just the hitting, mm-hmm. you burn half a calorie when he hits you. You lose half a calorie in your body when Mike Tyson punches you in the chest or the ribs, plus internal bleeding and, you know, necrosis
possible death.
Yeah. Yeah. Possible death.
So kangaroo, all day.
Because I thought for a split second, if you could build a machine that would maybe punch you or hit you with the same force that Tyson does. You know, maybe you can burn an extra couple calories a day, you know?
Could you imagine?
But then you gotta think, is that worth a broken rib or a busted up jaw? You know?
I have to run on a treadmill for like 5 minutes to burn half a calorie. I'll do that 20 times before I take my...
Yeah.
I'll do that forever before I take my test.
Like I said, I only thought about it for about a millisecond, and then I realized I'm an idiot. I'm an absolute idiot.
Okay, so some tech stuff that we want to talk about in the last episode and some photography stuff, and then... I'm telling you guys this now so you guys don't have to listen if you want to. We're about to nerd out on video games and Star Wars and stuff, so get ready for that. But we're going to start with photography Legos. Stuff.
If you didn't listen to the intro of this whole podcast, it was about, yeah.
It's just three grown-ass children.
That's true.
Yeah.
I for the longest time, I've said that I'm a 15-year-old stuck in a 35-year-old's body,
yeah.
And I'm not even embarrassed to admit it.
Yeah.
I tell my girlfriend that all the time. She's like, teehee, babe, you're silly. I'm like, no, I mean, thanks. But
this is me.
But it's me.
Yeah. I think... You get to a point in life where a lot of people think it's not mature or is the right word.
Honestly, just childish.
I think a lot of people are afraid to enjoy things that they enjoy because other people will.
The judgment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like, I love building Legos.
Yep.
I like watching Star Wars. I like watching Marvel.
Yep.
I enjoy the occasional
video game.
Yeah. It's like, why not?
Yeah, talk about Fortnite, bro.
As long as it's not like ruining your life or you're letting it get in the way of like work or relationships or anything like that, then maybe I think you should. I mean, that's anything though. It could be
anything.
Literally anything.
Right.
So,
you know, we were talking about movies that make us cry earlier. There's something that I watch. Like if I need to feel good about the world, like I need faith restored in humanity and I want to cry a little as a grown ass man. I watch Golden Buzzer videos on YouTube.
I don't know what those are.
America's Got Talent.
I thought you were going to say like the
golden buzzer when they immediately go to the finals.
Yeah.
Dude, every time.
Okay. That's a good one.
I can't help it.
I thought you were going to say the military returning, the vet returning ones.
No, you know.
Does that not get you?
No.
Oh.
And then, okay, in case anybody doesn't know, I am a vet. And
right.
So there's a reason that it doesn't get to me is I've been in that situation. And yeah, it's cool and everything. And it's cool to watch though. I love watching it. Like seeing that stuff is cool, but I don't get teary-eyed about it because I've done it. I've done it to other people, and it's been done to me several times. So it's not that I'm jaded. It's just like it means something different.
It's okay.
But, dude, watching like a 7-year-old Korean girl with the voice of like Adele get the golden buzzer, bawling like a baby every time.
Especially like their stories and their background and where they come from, you know?
Right. Louis Capaldi, you know the singer?
No.
The guy with Tourette's?
Yeah.
He's crazy. He has Tourette's.
Man, yeah. I feel bad. You're giving me all these things, and I just have no idea.
No, I guarantee you. I mean, you listen to me.
I'm sure I've seen or heard. Yeah,
for sure.
I'm really bad with names. So,
but he's a Scottish, right? I think he's Scottish.
Scottish, British.
But this, if you hear this dude sing, and then I show you his face, you'll be like, no. It's like God photoshopped a body into the voice. But he has Tourette's, and I've seen several of his shows where the Tourette starts to get the best of him. And he stops, he has physical tics and verbal tics. But when his physical tics is too strong for him to finish the song, the crowd knows that he does because they're diehard fans. And they finish the song for him while he's, working through his tic.
Wow.
It's That's insane.
Cool. It's cool. Oh, it's
so That's cool. really cool.
It's yeah. really, really cool. Do you know who Linkin Park is?
Okay, yes.
Okay, cool. So, did you hear the Lost?
Such a good song. Oh,
is it new?
Yeah.
The new one, yeah. So just released.
And it's with Chester.
Okay.
Who died 4 years ago, 5 years ago now?
Yeah.
He wrote that song Meteora Era. Okay. And it's about his feelings and his life. Mm-hmm. If you listen to any of the songs from Hybrid Theory on, you know that Chester had issues going on in his life.
Right. Yeah.
But what they did, and it's kind of cool, and it's a perfect segue into what we're talking about actually. When they made the music video, they took a bunch of their album covers and a bunch of their music videos and threw them into an AI generator, and the AI generator spit out this artistic masterpiece to me. I've seen a lot of people that say they hate it. I think it's cool.
Did they do any adjustment on it at all?
I think they did a little bit of tweaking, like certain things like they wanted to add or whatever.
Okay.
But you can tell the album cover for Meteora, the dude that's spray painting, if I remember right, they brought that guy in to spray paint some artwork for the music videos and for the album itself, but they took such a cool shot of him working that became the album cover. Wow. Linkin Park is always one of my favorite bands. So he wrote that song around Meteora time. The music is very Meteora-ish. It's nothing like their new stuff. Like Menace to Midnight, all the older stuff, it's Meteora and back. But everything, it's so cool. I'm trying not to tear up right now. It's so cool to hear Chester's voice again after all these years.
Right.
Yeah. But the song is so, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. Uh-huh. So when the podcast is over, before you go, I'll let you listen to it if you want.
Okay.
Or we can listen to it together because I love it. Dude, it's so good. Anyway.
It's a really good song.
But the AI thing that I was talking about.
Yep.
Apple Vision Pro. And we were talking about this earlier.
Yeah. I watched the keynote last week.
Did you watch Brownlee's on it?
I didn't actually watch the whole keynote because it's hard for me to sit there that long and
absorb all the information.
Yeah, and a lot of stuff. A lot of it is something I can watch on MKBHD or a quick YouTube short or something like that. Again, it gives me the breakdown of everything.
Marky Brown did one.
Yeah.
That's what I watched before I came in today.
All I saw was just kind of snippets of it and how it looks, how the kind of the UI looks. And what you can do with it. I don't really know how I feel about it.
I think it's a cool idea, but there's a movie that came out a while ago with Bruce Willis where everybody is living, but when they wake up, they get into this little simulator and then they don't go to sleep, but they're in a world and they control like an avatar kind of from the comfort of this bed or whatever. But people stay in there for so long, sometimes they forget the difference. They lose track between reality and virtual reality.
Yeah.
Now I'm not saying that this is going to do that, but this is just one of the first steps to that happening.
To get into that point, right?
Virtual reality was a step for that. AI, the chatbots, the actual robots that learn from people. What was
Have you guys seen Black Mirror?
Yeah, I've seen a couple of the episodes.
Oh, man.
Do they cover stuff like that?
Kind of scary how it's not one-to-one. Like the stuff that happens in Black Mirror is pretty drastic and pretty,
pretty
far-fetched, I would say.
That fighting game episode where they were both in AI and fighting each other.
Yep.
That's a little far-fetched.
But also it's Matrix. But kind of the same ideas. There's an episode of Black Mirror where your social rating depends on what you can and can't do.
Oh.
And you have a 5-star rating and it's based on a social media app, basically.
1-star.
Half star.
Must be the longest yard.
And what I've noticed is it's not social media as in general now is kind of, it's not like that to a T.
Right, right.
But people like certain things and people have perceptions on certain individuals and products and things like that just based off how many followers they have or things like that. And I've noticed, especially with it's Apple, what is it called?
Apple Vision Pro.
Vision Pro. That's kind of there's a whole episode with some, there's a implant you put in your head and you can put it into a computer and review everything that you saw, which is wild.
That's was
cool and terrifying at the same time.
Yeah.
there was a movie, I can't remember the full name of it, but they came out and it was, you can belong in certain places or you can go to certain restaurants based off of a score that a bot gives you. Like this bank would give you a number and it would, it would give you a number and then based off of that number, you can only go to these certain locations.
Yeah.
You're only allowed into these certain places. You can only live in these housing markets.
Kind of like so, that social media episode. It might be the same one. I don't know.
I don't know. We might be talking about the same, but similar, yeah. a lot really of that information has been coming out. Like we're going to have our own number. Like, what are we going to do with that number?
What was that movie with Justin Timberlake and Amanda Seyfried?
The numbers one, you have to spend time for
your
things.
Your time is your currency? That's intense, that movie.
That one's
wild. There's another one, too. I don't know. I can't remember that one, too.
It's good. Oh, Olivia Wilde's in that, too. I completely forgot.
Yeah.
It's not the... Oh, no. The Island is different. The Island is a different movie. That's another
Shutter Island. Oh, The Island. I was thinking Shutter Island. That's a whole
movie. I think that's Scarlett Johansson.
Big fan of her, too.
The AI thing is crazy because it's such a new thing, and it has an insane amount of potential.
Right.
And it's evolving so fast.
And
it's fast.
Yeah. I just don't know what it's going to do.
Well, so the godfather of AI literally removed himself from everything. He left the AI community completely, stating, this is not what I designed this for. And I'm paraphrasing these words. I can't remember exactly what he said, but he's like, this is not what I designed this for. This is getting out of hand and it's only a matter of time before, I mean, it could destroy humanity. They're the rules of robotics, right? Self-aware preservation, all that kind of stuff. Inflicting damage on humans, all that kind of stuff. Like he is foreseeing that is going to happen in the future. And it's wild to me because they're learning. These bots are learning. There's literally one of those robots, Sophia, I think was her name.
Sophia, yeah, that's a big one.
Sophia became the first. There was a country that made her an actual
chatbot. You're talking about?
No, like a real it's robot, a robot with facial expressions, eyebrow articulation, everything.
I think it's in China or
I want to say it was in Russia somewhere, like near Russia or Europe maybe. Anyway, this country made her a citizen. She's an actual citizen, and she had full on conversations.
She's a full on robot.
But she. Her brain runs all the like synapses and everything fires just like a human brain. And she can conversate with somebody and learn from the conversation and evolve it. And she even made the joke, kill all humans, because that's like a huge like robot thing, whatever. She made that joke, but it's fucking terrifying coming from a robot.
That's wild.
But she has all the facial expressions. She can be angry, surprised, you know, sad, all this stuff. It's these are my eyebrows. it's insane, dude.
Nuts. See, I don't, like kind of relating that to photography, I don't know. I'm sure it will be able to do certain things that a human can do at the same amount of productivity. Mm-hmm. But I find it really hard for it to replace like a wedding photographer.
Yeah.
Because I think there's just something about human interaction that people really like.
Right.
And I don't think a robot or an AI chat bot or goggles or anything. I think it can replicate it to a point, but there's something about like talking to a person.
Right.
I don't know if that's just because I'm a big people guy, but
no, I
would much rather like sit down and have a conversation with a person that might not say everything that I want to hear rather than go to a chat bot or something like that'll talk, you know, say, oh yeah, you know, whatever. Yeah. It's all good.
I feel like in the back of your mind, like you have more comfort knowing that there's a person taking pictures of you at your wedding. And because you, me, and Callie, and I know me and Callie do, and now that I know you do too, but we all have the same rule. Like, we like to sit down with our clients before the shoot happens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Get to know them, ask them questions, you know, about their family. What makes them, you know, what are the stuff that they like to do together? How long have you been together? Where'd you meet? All that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And any kind of AI isn't going to want to do that, first of all, because that's not, they're built to do one thing, whether they evolve or not.
Mm-hmm.
But the relationship you build with your clients, especially in photography, it relays through on the pictures.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Any photograph of a person, let me rephrase that. Like while I'm working, right. And it's whether it's family engagements, portraits, whatever,
mm-hmm.
the photos will turn out a million times better once you build a connection with the person.
Right.
Absolutely.
So like when I go on shoots, the first 10, 15 minutes of the photo shoot, I'm not even really worried about how the photos are coming out.
Right.
I'm just trying to build a connection with them, find something that we can connect on, making sure they're comfortable, cracking some jokes, you know, making sure that they know this is a very like safe, calm, fun environment, because then once you kind of get them to click and photos are going well and they're super stoked and they're comfortable,
it just starts to flow, right?
Yeah. Then your image is, you're not really worried about like posing them too much. They're in it. And I guess I'm more talking about like couple stuff too.
Right.
They're way more comfortable in front of the camera. They're very candid. You're getting a lot of like, you know, laughs, smiles, cracking some jokes, you know, very easygoing. I don't know. And I don't know if that's something that a robot or AI can.
I don't think they'll ever get to that point because of how, yeah, that'd be so scary if they do. But that genuine connection only comes with like human
100%
interaction, because we know our emotions. We know what drives people to be their genuine self. Right?
Yeah,
it seems to me like, especially in the world we are in right now, that the more people try to differentiate each other from the cancel culture bringing in, right?
Yeah.
The more people try to separate themselves from other groups to be unique or whatever, I feel like they're realizing that we're a lot more alike than we think.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Like all the stuff that goes on. Like there's no such thing as like a pure-blooded anything anymore. Mm-hmm. We're all mixed. We're all the same thing, dude. He's just more tan than I am.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like it's
truth.
Yeah,
it's, and he ages better than I do.
Yeah.
So, and it's really interesting to me that you do that in the beginning, because the first 15 minutes of my photo shoots, I do the same thing. I tell them I'm taking pictures to adjust the settings, which I do.
Yeah.
You know, just fine tunings. Right. I'm still taking pictures. I'm like, you guys don't have to pose. I'm just getting settings, whatever. But the nervousness, no matter how many times you do a photo shoot, I feel like you're always going to be nervous.
Yeah.
Even as a photographer. So the nervousness comes through then, because they're like, okay, we don't have, it's kind of like what we were doing before we started actually recording.
Right. Just chatting talking.
Right. Exactly. Yep. And this isn't scripted either, but this is a little more rigid than what we were just doing. And it's the same thing. They start making jokes, trying to like lighten the mood between themselves. And I get some of those pictures in, then I look at it and I made this like joke several times. Look, I'm like, okay, guys, we're done.
Yeah.
And they're just live like, no, I got it. It's right here. This is perfect.
Yeah. Cause I like to do, yeah, the starting kind of warm up, but I like, if it's somewhere where you're parking and walking, I like to park not far away, but make it like
far enough to
like
a
5 to 10 minute walk to where we're going. So that way you're using that whole time to talk and communicate with them. And you can tell, some people are more nervous than others. So I'm talking more than they are. And it's, you don't have to, you're not reinventing the wheel. It's just somebody that you've met for the first time and you talk to them about anything.
Yeah.
Oh, how was your day? Mm-hmm. Are you from here?
Yeah.
Oh, you did that too? Oh, you ate at that restaurant?
Oh, did you get that job you were at?
Yeah, exactly. So and it's just stuff like that.
Your models. So this is like, we're just talking like between ourselves, obviously, but if you're listening and you're trying to take notes and stuff like this, like your models are going to be way more comfortable if they know that you actually genuinely care about them as a person and that you don't look at, no family or anybody that hires you wants to think that you're looking at them as a paycheck.
Yeah.
If I could do photography, if I didn't have bills, I would do photography for free. I wouldn't care, because the reaction that I get from people when they see my work and they're happy with it is worth more to me than any paycheck I've ever received from any of my jobs I've ever had.
Yeah. And especially when you flip that camera around and you show them just a preview
the first time,
and they go, oh my God, I can't believe that's me.
Exactly.
I'm like, dude, yeah, that's you.
It's you. I can't believe how many photographers don't show their clients pictures as they go through.
I don't either.
And that's crazy.
I've had a few people that have worked with other photographers prior to me, and I flip them, show them the screen, and they like make a point to mention it. Like,
right. It's,
oh my
it's
God, crazy. I'm so glad that you're showing me previews, because I've never had that.
Right. You mean to tell me that you sat there for 2 hours with a photographer at three different locations and they didn't show you a single picture? Because that would be, in my mind, that'd be stressed all the time. Like, are we doing okay? Like, he says we're doing okay, but I'd love to see the picture. But you get like a lady on there that had a kid like 3 months ago, and she's proud of the transformation that her body's gone through. And she wants to, you know, I'm going to take some pictures, empowerment for me. And it's great. If you don't show her those pictures throughout, you know what I mean? Like, cause her comment is just going to build more and more as you go.
Right.
Yeah. It's a wasted opportunity for me.
They get way more comfortable once you show them what they actually look like.
Exactly.
And then they're just like, their hands start to be doing some random stuff that you never know.
Yeah.
You're just like, what?
Yeah. You know, I didn't
have that in my body before. Like, now I can do this. I can do that. Yeah. Like, everything's there.
You know, Mike, I think you're a lot more like personalistic than you think you are. I think you're a lot more extroverted than you give yourself credit for.
Because when you said you weren't.
No, people just say I look angry all the time, and I got RBF.
Resting, but it's not resting bitch face.
Douchebag face.
No, it's resting beard face.
Oh, that's what it is.
RBF, resting beard face.
Yeah, this is.
Why did I say douchebag? I don't know where that came from.
You say resting douchebag?
Resting douchebag face. RDBF. Mm-hmm.
And the one thing, too, is if you're, I did a mentorship, like one of the very first like hands-on mentorships I've done about a month ago. And the one thing that I noticed is that a lot of people who start photography, they're so worried about what's going on in their camera, which is totally understandable, especially if you get into a new place with lighting that you haven't worked with and you're so concerned with what's going on here that you don't talk And even if you hate the photos that you're taking, just keep talking. Yep. You know, don't get worried because you're the one that has the camera in your hand. You're technically the professional.
Right.
You know, so just make them feel comfortable.
Right.
Keep talking. If you don't like the way they look, tell them, you know, because like a model,
gotta be honest,
a client will appreciate it. And like I'll tell clients too, I'll say, or couples or whoever I'm shooting, I'll say, or they'll mention, hey, if you don't like, if we look funky, please tell us. And I'll say, if you look weird, I'm going to tell you. And then they'll kind of laugh and I'll make sure to mention if their hands are kind of just staying
super rigid.
Yeah. And I'll tell them and then they appreciate it. And, but yeah, the biggest thing is, I know you got a lot going on right here in your camera, but you gotta look and see what's going on.
Right.
Make them feel comfortable and just talk.
I was going to bring this up the last podcast, but we always go on tangents. When you go to do like a wedding ceremony and you always have these planned shots or like things that you want to go through. What if like if you do a lot of outdoor weddings, like weather changes, venue changes, like on the spot, how do you handle those situations?
You got to roll with the punches.
Kind of hard,
right? That's a really hard question to answer because weddings, there's so many variables that can happen. You could have a whole plan, you know,
I'm going to get this, I'm going to get this.
Whole timeline.
Timed out, right?
And then it doesn't happen. I actually shot a wedding at Red Hawk a couple weeks ago and it poured rain, dumped rain.
Wait, when did you Red Hawk?
Red Hawk,
when?
Sunday the 20 something of May.
I was at the driving range.
Was it raining
on that weekend? No, I think it was on Saturday.
Okay, because it was Sunday and it poured rain.
Oh man.
So that's just tough. I mean, you kind of you have to get the shots that you need to get, and sometimes it's not going to be in the place you want it to be. So we had ceremony and everything was right outside of the clubhouse, not on the deck portion, but kind of in the grass area. Overcast day, so light was really pretty. Then all of a sudden it started raining. They stopped the ceremony for like 15 minutes because no one had walked down yet.
Okay.
Everybody was seated and then it started pouring rain. So then they said, hey, let's try to hold off for 15, 20 minutes, see what happens. They waited. It stopped raining. They came back out, started raining harder. So they went through the whole ceremony, you know, did vows and ring exchange and all that. And then there was a little gazebo that we could stand under that had a bunch of chairs and tables in it that we weren't planning on staying in, but we had to move the tables and chairs out to the side. And the gazebo was pretty. It wasn't like it was a changing room or a laundry room or something like that. Like it had a nice little wooden backdrop and a light was nice. But with stuff like that, there was really no other place you could take it, you know? And me, I'm not going to pull them into where they were having the ceremony because it was completely dark and I didn't want to have a bunch of lights set up and I didn't want them really by guests because you kind of want to pull the family and everyone away for those family photos or else guests are going to come up and which is, I mean, you want your guests to see you, but you kind of want that hour or 45 minutes or however long you have to pull them away, get the photos done as quick as you can. So that way you can get them into the ceremony and or reception. And
yeah, no, exactly.
I think like going back to the AI talk, if you're to program like a robot to do a wedding and scenarios like that happen.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to be able to adjust to those
random
scenarios or like people emotionally, like going through just the motion of a wedding. Like so many things happen. Emotions flare. I know people walk down the aisle faster than during the rehearsals. Music never plays on time. Like things happen. And I don't know if AI or technology in general will adjust to that. That speed.
Yeah.
Because there's no structured timeline at a wedding.
Never.
Especially at a wedding.
Never.
Well, what's funny about weddings too is everything that you see on IG is not the way it is in real life.
Oh, absolutely not.
You know, unless you're shooting an elopement in the Dolomites or even in Tahoe and it's just you, officiant, maybe a couple family members and bride and groom.
Right.
Maybe it's like that. Most of the time it's not because you are not the only one there. You know, the photographer, you got video, you got food. You have a whole reception planned. You have a timeline that you have to follow. The clients only, bride and groom only have the venue for a certain amount of hours. Yep. So you kind of have to adapt and, you know, I mean, not every wedding is raining and 90% of them, everything goes exactly, not exactly, but pretty much
pretty
how
close.
You plan
close.
On it. Yeah. But weddings are all about adapting. So if some, like I kind of like when those things happen. It sucks when it rains, but I almost like it because it'll prepare you for an event that'll happen in the future. Right. So
but I also feel like MacGyver, if something comes up and I find a way or like to fix it or whatever.
Oh yeah.
I feel like MacGyver.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
And my, so I have an assistant when I do weddings, and she carries around like a fanny pack with her. And inside the fanny pack is Band-Aids.
Perfect.
Quick pins, like hairpins. Sorry, quick pins. Hairpins, like the really long like needles to fix your dress or whatever. Band-Aids. And then whatever kind of alcohol they like vodka or whatever, there's little shooters in there and cigarettes. And, there's like a couple other things in there too, just in case. And that's, I mean, that's just in case.
Yeah.
And I bring my flash with me, and most of the time I don't use it unless we're inside, then it gets dark, but I bring my flash so that if we have to go inside because it starts to rain or whatever, boom, I have a flash. It's a total okay. Most of the time I don't even need it, but I have all this extra stuff for whatever reason I don't need it or whatever, but just in case. But yeah, AI is not going to know that. Yeah. Oh, like it's there's a 60% chance of precipitation. You know, nobody's, they're not going
to
think
that. And I would like to think that a robot doesn't have
the eye.
The eye, but also just the ability to talk to people and comfort them if something goes wrong during their wedding day. They're not going to sit there and, you know, talk with them and just comfort them and be like, you know what, it's okay.
Right.
This has happened before. We have plenty of time to do it. You know, we can push the ceremony back 15, 20 minutes. It's totally fine. Like, it's all good. You know, just talking to people.
They wouldn't be able to make jokes.
You know? Yeah. They're not going to be able to, you know, I don't know.
Look on the bright side. At least you don't operate on 9-volt batteries. Exactly. Ha, ha, ha. You know, like, you know.
And they're like, this fucking robot.
This fucking robot. Unplug him. Yeah. Duracell out of here.
Unplug him.
Get the Duracell out of here. And back to your, when you're talking about like looking down at your camera, right? So that's called chimping, in case anybody's ever like heard the term.
And that's what it's called?
Chimping, yeah, because you're like, I was watching a video and I forget. Oh, you know what? We haven't brought him up in a while.
Right.
It was a Peter McKinnon video. I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
He was talking about how important it is to not break that human connection.
Yep.
Now, something that I've never heard anybody, I'm sure they have, but something I've never heard anybody talk about, but I would love to address, especially with you two. Mirrorless cameras change the game in many different ways. And there's a way that I have found that they change the game that nobody really talked about. And to me, that's that chimping breaks that human connection, right? Because on DSLRs, you couldn't preview the picture while looking through the eyepiece. So looking down like this, you're literally breaking the plane of eye connection, right? But if you're looking through the viewfinder on a mirrorless camera, you can take the picture and preview it in that same screen without turning away from them, without breaking that visual connection. Mm-hmm. And I think that's insanely good, because I can look like this and look and be like, okay, good, and like preview while I'm talking to them, like, hey, move a little bit to the right, without having to look down, bring the camera out of the sun, right, get in the shadows. It's all right there. You don't have to break that anymore.
Yep.
And that right there is worth the extra, you know, $1,200 or whatever for a mirrorless camera upgrade on its own.
I would agree. I shoot a lot of live view, just like this. I heard you mention something about Fronos Photo. I don't know if you're a fan or not.
not a fan.
But there's a guy on YouTube. I think his name is Alex Berea. He's a Canon shooter, shoots a lot of weddings. And he was talking about how he likes to shoot some with, you know, old school camera up to his eye, but he also kind of likes to shoot like this, cause it's a little more personal.
Yeah.
And you're still looking down, but you can still talk, and it's not so much of a like camera up to your eye, so much eye on you, so much contact on like, you know, couple or model or whoever. And Fronos Photo like took that video and kind of bashed on him for saying that it was the wrong way. And he was like,
he didn't use the term jackass,
but he kind of like referred to him as a jackass. But the thing that like kind of pisses me off about the photo community in general, not just, there's no wrong way to do things.
Right.
No, exactly.
You know, like photography is subjective. Art is subjective.
100%.
I think everybody has their skills and certain ways they do things. And I don't really think there's a wrong way to do it. I mean, maybe there is,
right.
You know, if you're trying to take photos that are supposed to be in focus and you know, you're taking pictures of your feet, then that's not the right way.
No, I agree. I've always said that Jared Polin is a little too opinionated to me. He's a little too full of himself. And I mean, he's a good photographer. I mean, like he followed Bernie Sanders around for his campaign. Yeah. Like he's a good photographer, but he's kind of a douche.
Yeah.
And like everything about him and his personality kind of bother me. The fact that he's able to get these gigs to me specifically means that his talent is amazing, because as a human being, he's kind of crap.
Yeah, I mean, he's amazing. He's like that old school. If he was he could be a photography college teacher. By the book, rule of thirds,
definitely.
Exposure.
But he would rip apart his students.
Oh, absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely. And the stuff that his students could get paid for and make a career out of it, or things that they really enjoy, sell prints, do whatever, he would say, oh, that's wrong.
Right.
You know?
Right. It kills me. I do watch some of his stuff because his, like you said, book smart, his factual stuff, like when he presents numbers, they're good.
Yeah.
And that stuff I appreciate, but there's a right and a wrong way to do things for me. And like you said, photography is all subjective. It's everybody does things differently. If that photographer thinks that works for him, as long as it works for him, at the end of the day, as long as the client is happy, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
You know, like even if you're the biggest douchebag in the world, but you give them a good product and they're like, hey, he was a good guy, but we're really happy with the pictures. Good for you. You did it. But why can't you do both? Why can't you be personable and give out a good product?
Yeah, right. Because Jared Pullen would not be a fan of me.
I don't know.
Because I don't like bracket my ISO. I don't do any of that.
I'm not laughing because you don't. I'm laughing because I remember that episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, dude.
We all do it differently.
Is the client or the person I'm taking the photo of going to know if I'm bracketing my ISO?
No, not at all.
Hell no.
They don't even know what that means.
No. Which reminds me, have you ever taken a picture of a photographer, like a professional photographer, like done a photo shoot for one?
Because
it's very nerve-wracking.
I'm trying to think.
Do you want to?
I would love to. Well, I'll bring the camera when we go golf and we can all
heck yeah.
Actually, you know what? This is perfect. We want to do a podcast during a round of golf.
Hell yeah. Like I want to start a YouTube golf channel.
I'm down.
Where I just golf and I talk, have some beers.
I'm down.
Do some challenges.
You have guests right here.
I would love if we did like a you guys like to eat?
Oh yeah.
Like
I'm familiar with
this. Three of us, we could do like a 40 taco challenge, like 40 taco, man. Taco Bell, like just something small.
Yeah.
Like a little crunchy 40 taco.
40 tacos, small, no big deal.
You know, we could try to get it through 9 holes. So the video isn't like 4 hours long.
That'd be dope. Well, I mean, it's not like we have to worry about the editing.
Yeah. Oh no, I'll final cut it for you.
Hey, yeah. Teamwork.
Yeah. Teamwork.
Yeah. I'll clip it and edit it and then you can just color it.
Yeah.
Easy
money. Did you ever watch anime growing up?
The only anime I have ever watched and I actually really enjoy it is Demon Slayer.
Okay, Demon Slayer is dope.
But so I have not watched any other anime.
Have you? But you did, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I was a big anime. I still am. I like anime. I don't care what anybody says. If you don't like it, scruff. But one of my favorite animes as a kid was Naruto. The reason I brought it up because you were talking about like, I did this and that. Certain animators in their studio would do certain episodes. So if the episode was like more battle intensive, they would give it to this guy because he has a different style. And I was just thinking how cool it'd be if not cool, but that's what made me think of it. Like if you did part of the episode, like you did all the actual golfing part and then us stuffing our faces, you edit that part and it's like more like action. You know what I mean? Like it just, that's what.
That would be funny.
That'd be
hilarious. That would be funny.
Just like a little cliff note, like Mike or Chef, like yeah. You're editing in the corner.
I think the only times I've taken pictures of photographers is if they're a guest at a wedding or they're in the wedding party or something like that. Dude, I got a cool ass wedding story for you.
Let's go.
Okay. So I haven't seen many celebrities in my life. I've seen a lot in Disneyland. I've seen Adam Sandler. I've seen Hunter Pence. I've seen Seal.
Did you meet Adam Sandler?
Didn't meet Adam Sandler.
I met Hunter Pence.
Took a picture with Hunter Pence.
Good guy.
Yeah, I felt bad because I'm a Cubs fan. I was wearing a Cubs hat. He was on the Giants.
Go.
Yes. He was on the Giants at the time. He came out after Space Mountain. He came out after Space Mountain, and I saw him walk out, and I'm like, "Holy shit, that's Hunter Pence!"
Yeah.
So me, I was
just say it out loud too. Like,
I was younger. I was probably 19, 20. And if I saw a celebrity, I'm like, "Dude, I'm taking a picture with him." and so he walks out, and I just immediately have my phone in my hand, and you could see him, and his face is kind of pale because he just got off Space Mountain. And
oh man,
he's like holding his stomach.
You picked
like
a good time.
I said, "Hey, Hunter, do you mind if I get a photo with you real quick?" And he's kind of like going like this. He's not saying no. And I go, "Oh, it's okay if you don't want to." He goes, no, real quick. I just threw up in the bathroom. Like, that ride sucked.
So
took a picture with him. I saw Miles Teller in Disneyland.
Dope.
I want to know how he is in life, too.
I peed next to him at the urinal.
Okay.
Because it was the only one open. Because, you know, the urinal.
Thank you.
Rule.
Yes. Like, yes. Rule. I was about to ask. Yeah. Yes.
I don't care who it is. Because I get a little, not scared, but I have like anxiety if I'm in a urinal and it's like packed up. For some reason, it just like makes me scared.
I'll wait.
You get a little camera shy.
I'll wait, yeah. Or I'll go into like an open stall if there is one.
Yes. Yep.
Same boat.
Yep.
But so me and my girlfriend were in Disneyland, I think it was like a year or two ago. And we walk by this guy who looks like Miles Teller and he has a bunch of people around him.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of walk by him and we're like, "Oh shit, is that Miles Teller?" And we look back and we're like, oh shit, it is. We kind of walk around, we loop back, and he walks into the bathroom, and I had to pee at the time. So I'm like, well, I guess I'm following him into the bathroom. And the only urinal open is next to Miles Teller. So I'm standing next to, and I, of course, I can't say anything or else I don't know if that's weird or not.
Hey, Miles.
I wanted to say, like,
a little weird.
What's up, dude?
Loved you in Top Gun.
You got a nice.
Loved you in Top Gun.
Who's the guy in Dodgeball? Not Owen Wilson.
Oh, Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn. Seen Vince Vaughn.
So at I've Disneyland. Heard, and I've heard Vince Vaughn is an absolute dick in public. Which really, sucks. It sucks because I think he's funny and I want him to be a nice guy, but I've heard he's a dick from a lot of people. Because
that was one where that was recent. That was a couple years ago, and we were walking, and it was just like
he's Vince, like 6'5", isn't he?
He's huge.
He's massive.
We were right next to Vince Vaughn.
Six.
And
get out of here.
I wanted to take a picture with him, but I couldn't because I didn't want to be that guy. He's with his family.
Can't be
he's
in the tall. Frame anyway.
And it's late at night too, so we're in like the back part of Disneyland, walking up to the front, and I could have easily said, you know, what's up, or I was like, can you dodge this wrench, or I don't know. I was trying to think of movies he was in to like throw him a quick one liner. But I was shooting, and I've seen those people, and it's like, oh, this is cool. Never been really starstruck. Mm. We're shooting a wedding. It's a venue called Nakoma. It's like right outside of Gray Eagle, mm-hmm. Portola, California area. And shooting the wedding, it was just me at this one, so I was kind of bouncing back between the guys and the girls. I'm with the girls first, talking with the girls, doing some detail stuff. I walk down because you have to walk through a bar area downstairs to get from the guys to the girls. Walk down to the guys. As I'm walking to the guys, I see a dude sitting at the bar, and his hair looks like Lil Dicky. You know who Lil Dicky is, right?
Yeah.
So I kind of glance real quick, and I don't think it's him. So in my head, I think, shit, that kind of looks like Lil Dicky. So I walk down, and I'm so focused on what I'm doing at this point. Like, they had a lot of groomsmen, too. There was, like, 10 or 12 guys in there.
Jesus. Rolling deep.
Big wedding,
so,
yeah.
So I'm just like, and I was on a pretty crunch timeline. So when I went back down to the guys, I said, I'm just going to get some of you real quick. Tie, cufflinks, shoes, best man helping him out with his suit. Just kind of stuff like that, and we would do more photos later. And I like to do the shot with the guys where, I have all the dudes grab a drink and have one of the groomsmen say something like a little speech.
Yeah.
So that way it's candid. They all kind of cheers together. And, Lil Dicky's name is David Bird, mm-hmm. I think. And, the groom goes, hey Bird, you want to say something? And then Lil Dicky's just sitting in the back corner. Like I'm down there for like 15, 20 minutes at this point, and I have not seen that he's there. And you hear him, and he's like, yeah, I'll say something. And he gets up, and I look at him, and I think, holy shit, that's Lil Dicky. Because I listen to Lil Dicky a lot in college, and I was a huge fan. Like, I love that dude.
Brain is my favorite.
Oh, dude.
Brain.
Yeah. He's so good.
So good.
So he gets
you
up.
You don't know about Mangia? fuck with the war?
And so this,
you don't fuck with the war.
This dude is literally just there in the wedding party.
Just chilling.
So I was cool. I was professional. I did not geek out. I did not freak out. I shot the entire wedding. And then as soon as I was off the clock, I went up to him and I said, hey, man, I just want to say I'm a huge fan. Like, listen to your music in college. I think you're hilarious. You're a really good dude. And he's pretty sauced at this point.
Oh,
and he came up, dapped me up, like gave me a hug. And he's like, oh, you did such a good job. Like, I appreciate you. You know, you keeping your cool and stuff. I go, hey, dude, do you mind, like, taking a photo with me, snapped a selfie with me. He actually posted one of my photos on Instagram. I got no tag.
Oh.
So that was a bummer. But I didn't care. It was cool.
What a little dicky move.
I know. It was him dancing too. He had like a white claw in his hand and he was all like, you know, jamming out. That's probably the coolest wedding story.
That's awesome. I don't have any celebrity on photo shoots. I've met a lot of celebrities out in like in the wild,
yeah.
I like to call. On sports, Troy Polamalu.
Yep.
So he, because he got.
There was a mic.
Yeah, okay. so they were the Pro Bowl in Hawaii. I was working at the Sheraton Waikiki as the manager for their resort photography company. And me and one of my employees went over to the Royal to check on something. And as we were walking back, there was these two super adorable kids walking in front of us. And they had like Troy hair, mm-hmm. you know, head and shoulders. And I was like, dude, these kids have Troy hair. And then he's like, yeah. And I was like, and I looked up and there was a guy walking in front of him and his hair was pulled back in a tail and a local guy. And I was like, how old are Troy's kids? Cause his dad's a huge Steelers fan. He's like, I'm like, they're like 6 or 7. And I was like, how old do you think those kids are? He's like, 6 or 7. How tall is Troy? 6 foot. dude, I think that's Troy, bro. Like, I think that's him. Mm-hmm. He was there for the Pro Bowl, of course. So we kind of like scoped him out. When we were doing our pictures of the guests that were there, we were like peeking over the camera, like looking to see it when he was around, like to see if it was him or not. Definitely I'm verified. So he's walking back as we're going out with another, with one of the other employees. And like, I was like, hey, Troy, do you mind if I get a picture? Like, you know, you're a legend, dude. Like you're a good actor, head and shoulders. Awesome stuff.
Yeah.
He didn't smile and he looked genuinely irritated that I was bothering him. And I get it. He was with his family.
Yeah.
And I never like asked for pictures and I also don't geek out around celebrities. But the reason I wanted a picture is because my employee and his dad are massive Steelers fans and I'm a Cowboys fan. I don't like the Steelers, but it's Troy.
Yeah.
I wanted to get a picture and rub it in his face. So he took a picture of me and it was cool and everything. And then I showed it to my friend who got so jealous that he waited at the front of the gallery for Troy to walk back from the bathroom to ask him to take a picture too. And he's like, and Troy's like, who's going to take the picture? And he turned and looked at me and I was like, no, because Troy will kill me, bro.
Did he smile in the photo at least?
Yeah, he smiled in the photos. No, he genuinely is a nice guy, but you could tell that he was with his family.
Yeah.
But he was super cool. I also, DMX came over to my house. When I was in Hawaii as well.
That's
I
have pictures crazy. Of it.
Wow.
We just came back from the deployment. We were putting stuff up in the garage. One of our friends was going to his concert. This is after he was clean. It was his first time being in Hawaii. And she's like, I'm going to see, you know, DMX. And we're like, all right, cool. You know, have a good time. If you need anything, let us know. And she's like, oh, I'm bringing him back with me. And we're like, okay. If you need anything, let me know. Yeah. So we wake up the next day and we're finishing moving everything in the garage. And we're getting ready to start a barbecue. It's the weekend. And this car rolls up and parks halfway on our driveway and half in our neighbor's driveway. And then this older black lady gets out of the back seat, and then our friend gets out of the driver's seat, and it's not her car. And then DMX gets out of the passenger seat, and I was like, and my buddy Juwan was in the closet, and I was like, like that, and he's like, what, man? I was like, bro, X is here. He's like, what? I was like,
how did she get him to come back?
So apparently, she was a friend of his, or she. Like her and her friends were friends with him like a long time ago.
In high school or something like that?
Way back.
Uh-huh.
But she didn't tell any of us that at all.
Wow.
So he rolls up and I was, and you know, talking, and this is on base. Like this is on a military base too. And he had an open bottle of Hennessy with him and he had marijuana on him, of course. And he, my buddy's wife smoked a joint with him up in the room. Oh, we shared awesome. The bottle of Hennessy. We played dominoes. We cooked him dinner. We bought him another bottle of Hennessy because me and Drew polished that thing off. And he's like, you know, I can afford. I was like, yeah, you're a guest. Shut up. Like,
yeah.
How many people could say they bought a bottle of Hennessy for DMX?
Oh, that's yeah.
And then
that's a lifetime achievement.
And he's super down to earth. He didn't bark the entire night until he left. And he was trash like a little dick he was.
Uh-huh.
He's like, all right, got to walk this dog. And then got up and like got his car just fucking vanished like a genie, bro.
Oh, that's awesome.
But he was super, super cool.
The little dicky experience was cool, but that is.
I would love to meet little dicky.
By far. Yeah, but I didn't get to drink Henny with little dicky.
you could have. He was at the bar.
I mean,
you could have bought him a drink.
I could have. But I felt bad because you could tell at that wedding, everyone was coming up to him. Because
the groomsman
and Lil Dicky went to college together and they were roommates in college when he went, they were like in Virginia or something like that. And, so there were a lot of people there that didn't know who Lil Dicky was. And towards the end of the night, you could tell he was pretty tore up, like not sad, just drunk.
Right.
And he was holding so many different people's phones, like FaceTiming their kids and stuff like that.
I don't think for being like that.
And he didn't mind because I think, beginning of the day, everybody was pretty relaxed and chill and let them enjoy the day until everybody got pretty. That wedding was wild. Like, that was a pretty expensive one. So people were getting plastered. And
where was that one at again?
Nakoma. It's called Nakoma Resort. It's in Clio, however you say it, California. Yeah. Right outside of Portola.
I think I know.
So like Grey Eagle area.
Yeah.
About an I love hour, that area. It's so hour pretty. Northwest of Reno.
That's where the fires were a couple years ago, near there.
Close, yeah.
It's a very pretty area up there.
Very, very.
So what's your celebrity story, bro?
I don't have one.
What?
Sadly, I haven't met a lot of celebrities.
I mean, you could tell them how you met me, this guy.
Hey.
it's really not. Like, the little dicky thing was cool because he was at a wedding.
Right.
Right.
But the other stuff is just kind of like, especially like now getting a little older, you see somebody in public that's celebrity, you're kind of like, oh, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Right.
You know, like being next to Miles Teller. It's a fun story to tell, but I'm not going to be like, hey, dude, here, pull out the phone. Hey, dude, take a photo of me. You know? Like, it's not like a, I guess for me, I just don't idolize them as much as as I used to.
They're people.
Yeah, 100%.
Like as a kid, like it's completely different. Obviously, like if you meet like your childhood hero, especially sports or something like that, or like for me, for like video games, like it's different. Now that we're adults, like we know. And the thing is, like too, as photographers, like I know this has happened to all of us. Like we'll be out doing something, whatever, and like one of our old clients or somebody recognizes us, or you know somebody's been on Instagram, like, oh hey, you know this guy, whatever.
Yeah.
And like it's only happened to me a handful of times, but every time it does, it makes me feel dope.
Right.
But yeah. I'm sure after, you know, 30 years of it happening 16 times a day, I would still be like, yeah, of course we'll take a picture. But inside I'm like, I just want to go home.
Right.
Especially if you're spending time with your family or you're doing something where you want to get away from that.
Right.
And
like at a wedding.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. So, but no, it's cool that people, that's something that bothers me about, a few of the photographers that have really made a name for themselves, in our industry. Right. One of the most famous photographers of our time right now is Peter Lick, right?
Okay.
And he's an Australian born photographer. He's based in Vegas now. He has galleries in like 8 of the biggest cities in the world. But I've heard from several people that have worked for him and have met him in life, and he's very full of himself. He's very like standoffish apparently. He thinks he walks on air or whatever because he sells his pictures for, you know, $1 million each and stuff. Has he earned the right to be cocky?
Sure.
Yeah, of course. You could do you, boo-boo.
Okay? Yeah.
But photographers don't become photographers for us to be famous.
Yeah.
We want our work to be recognized.
Right. Yeah.
And if you're one of the most recognized, like he's almost a household name for photographers. And if you're one of those people that are that famous and you're not a nice person, what the fuck, dude?
Like, yeah.
What if a kid wants to be a photographer and they meet you like, oh my God, it's Peter Lick, and you're an absolute asshole to him.
And you just destroy all their dreams.
Exactly. He doesn't want to be a photographer anymore.
Yeah.
Like, what does that say?
I would rather pay somebody that's a nice person.
Oh yeah.
And have their work on, like, I don't care whose it is.
Oh yeah.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a bummer when people are like that. Celebrities or people that kind of get some clout or they're popular for something. And then, I mean, you might catch somebody on a bad day.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know, but if people are constantly running into them and they're saying on multiple accounts that they're, you know, assholes or they're just not nice, that's a bummer.
And I feel bad for, I was just checking the record.
Oh.
I feel bad too. Like if any of the people we're talking about, I don't know if they ever, why they would, but if they ever listen to this podcast, like even Jared Polin, yeah, we talk shit about him, but that's just our opinion. Like
yeah,
he might be the nicest guy in the world, but his persona on camera is, he's not.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But super knowledgeable.
Oh yeah.
And that's
100%.
Peter McKinnon. To me, Peter McKinnon, and I know
he looks super down to earth.
But I feel like I talk about him so much that if we were in prison, I would hold his pocket. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But this dude, I wonder how many people got that. But this dude, I feel like he is the personification of what a photographer should be.
Yeah, good dude.
And Platon too. I don't know if you know Platon.
I don't know that name.
He, you have Netflix, right?
I do.
So if you go on there, look up, what was it?
Abstract.
The very last episode of Abstract is about Platon. He's one of my favorite portrait photographers. He still shoots on like a legit Rolly.
Really?
Yes. And he has prints. Time Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
He's responsible for 80% of those covers.
Damn, on a Rolly?
Yeah, and that's my point right there. His work is super famous. Nobody knows who he is. He's a Polish photographer. Nobody knows who he is.
But they know his work.
But he approaches the same. He has the same approach that you, me, and Callie do, and you.
Yeah.
Now that I've got to know your workflow a little more, he'll sit down and talk with people, break down their walls, make them vulnerable, and then snatch those pictures.
Yeah.
And he's really good at it. Like, yeah. I mean, he literally sits on the floor while his client, whoever it is, Putin, Obama, Trump before the presidency, all that stuff, sits in the same exact box. They all sit on the same exact box. I think in the episode, he's like, this box has had more famous asses than anything. but he sits on the floor and gets these vulnerable pictures of some of the most powerful people in the world.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, when you break it down to an absolute molecular science, bro, we're all fucking humans. We're all equal. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter if you're a photographer, a mechanic, a fry cook, a burger flipper, whatever.
Yeah.
We're all people. We all have passions. We're all the same thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I love that. And I think in the community of photographers, for the most part, a lot of them recognize that.
Oh yeah.
Cause we have to.
Yeah.
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 I think it's great. Peter McKinnon, huge shout out to you. I hope you watch this one.
I hope you watch this one.
I would love
one.
For you to be sitting right here. Actually right there.
I would rather have Peter McKinnon here sitting sitting here than me.
No.
I'm happy to,
there.
Oh, okay.
With
okay.
you here.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, for sure. I was going to say, yeah, you want Peter McKinnon. You don't want me.
No, absolutely. No, we were talking about this before, and Aaron and I talked about it too, but Mike and I really wanted to make sure that the guests we bring on here, whether they're photography based or not, we want them to be local. It doesn't matter if they're like really famous or not famous. It doesn't matter to us.
Yeah.
But not a lot of people get a chance to be on a podcast, whether it's super famous like You Should Know or Basement Yard or I mean, God,
whatever,
any of them.
Big or ours. Is, yeah.
With
yeah.
our tens and tens.
Joe
of,
Rogan one.
But our tens. And, yeah, Joe Rogan. Yeah. Holy crap.
Yeah.
But our tens and tens of listeners are very loyal.
Yeah.
So the 25 average people that we get on the first couple of days, bam.
I would want those 20 to 30 people that actually give a shit about what you're talking about.
All day.
And have 200,000 people that are kind of don't, you know, I'm sure you have some fans and like diehard fans in there.
Oh, yeah.
People that are just kind of like, yeah, you know.
Because I guarantee out of those 25 to 30 people we get, at least three of them are here just for this guy. Look how handsome
and
he is.
And the other, what is the math? 22. Oh, no, I couldn't do it. Oh my gosh.
Just for the record, that was not what I was implying. I was genuinely just trying to give you a comment, buddy. Yeah, I was not trying to. Yeah, fuck. Now I look like a dick. Jaron Poland from Frono's Photos here.
I knew you were wearing a mask.
I just the keep the hair inside. That's why I just pulled back, you know? Go to the gym.
Yeah. God, I just think I would hope that people that want to reach out to me don't feel intimidated. And I don't mean to sound that like arrogantly because I'm nowhere near big. You know what I mean? But I just hope that I'm a resource that people can use. I mean, I'm not going to give somebody all my secret sauce.
Right.
But I'm more than willing to help out in any way I can. You know, I hope that I'm
approachable
a friendly face to reach out to, you know.
Definitely are.
I'm not gonna lie. I might gatekeep a few locations.
Same.
Especially
as photographers.
Especially if I have to go out and like, because sometimes I'll like search pretty hard. I'll spend like a whole day looking for spots. You know.
Right.
So then you spend all that time, and unless it's at like Verdi or something, you know, like yeah, it's just the big field in Verdi.
That's, I think that's specific.
That's one of Callie's favorite spots. Just so you know,
the Verdi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's also one of my,
it's such a really good spot.
The Verdi spot is sweet. It's 15 minutes away. It doesn't look like you're in Reno. It's pretty, but so that's the only thing I might not give away.
The Aspen Grove in Truckee is my
Aspen Grove.
It's the random Aspen trees on the right hand side driving from Truckee to Tahoe. They only bloom for 4 weeks total a year, twice a year. So 2 weeks each. And then they're gone.
Have you been to the fire lookout in between? I'll give you the in between spot.
I'll share my secret.
Then I'll tell you where it is after.
Should we keep this off the podcast?
No, you can keep this on there. I won't give you the exact location because it's cool. It's a fire lookout. It's in between Truckee and Tahoe. You get up to the spot and the house, the lookout, wooden lookout is still up there. It's open. You can go in, sit inside it. You can see probably 50% of Tahoe to your left. Mm-hmm. And then you can see Donner, Boca, Stampede.
Oh, no way.
You get a ton of rolling hills. I'm
trying to think what you're talking about.
It's really pretty.
Oh, actually, too, before I forget, not trying to cut you off at all.
No, you're fine.
Aaron is doing, shameless plug for you, Aaron, you owe me. Aaron is doing another one of his nighttime sessions.
Uh-huh.
Milky Way
yep.
at Donner Bridge.
Okay.
Next month. And he and I'm going up there just to support my buddy.
Date?
And take pictures.
We'll
hold hands, absolutely.
No.
Oh, do
What's the date? What's the date of the event? But yeah.
Anyway, you want to go?
Sure. Yeah, we can hold hands.
I'll get the date. Bromance. I'll get you the date. It's
okay.
Aaron sent it to me. Anyway, that's the shot that I showed you in my Subi.
Yeah.
It was a test run for the class.
Hell yeah.
To see, because the Milky Way is in this, the galactic core comes up around 11 o'clock or so. Right now, southern. And from Moon Rocks, where Reno is southern too, so it blows out the picture.
Are we like peak season for?
No, Milky peak Way? Season for that's going to be about July. We're almost okay. there.
June-ly.
June-ly. But the Galactus core is breaking up about midnight above, depending on where you are. Like if you're in Tahoe on the edge of a mountain, it's going to be more like 2 o'clock.
Right.
But yeah, it's good Milky Way season here in northern Nevada is generally going to be between the middle of May until about September.
Okay.
Maybe you can technically shoot it down into November, but you're getting the tail end, literally the tail end of it. But yeah, it's, I think I showed you the picture. Are you seeing the picture of the bridge with the Milky Way?
Yeah.
That's the place we're going.
Yeah. I haven't shot Milky Way in years.
Let's go, man.
I would love. Have you shot Milky Way?
I haven't shot Milky Way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to invite you too. There's room.
We're going to do a 3-way handhold.
Yes.
4-way. Aaron's there.
Yes. 4-way.
Math is hard. Honestly, we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
But I'm stealing one of the vehicles from Nissan and okay. we're going to go down there because after the class
is
done.
Do they know you're stealing it or are you just stealing it?
I may have told one person.
Okay. So at least you told one.
And the owner.
That's all they matter. Yeah. That's all that matters.
But after everybody leaves, we're gonna put the truck like right on the bridge and get some like cool shots for them to use.
Oh,
forever.
Hell yeah. They'll appreciate that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's a Frontier. It's on the showroom floor right now, but it has custom, a custom wrap on it, lift kit, tires. Ooh. It has an off-road kit on the back with kickers and tent and everything on the back. And it, you can buy it as is. It's really expensive. I'm not shamelessly plugging them, by the way. But I'm going to steal it from the showroom floor and we're going to take it up there. So
that'll be sick.
That'll be the car. We'll all just probably meet at like a centralized location, jump into that and just go.
Wow. Yeah. That'll be sick.
So yeah. Aaron's going to listen to this and be like, no, no. Aaron's going to be cool with it.
Yeah.
I love Aaron to death, man. He's such a good dude. He really is.
It seems like from an outsider perspective, everybody that I've met that's worked at that shop.
I tried to hold a straight face. That did not work.
I don't know if I can say this or not, but everybody that at least that I've come in contact with has been really cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Cause my first time going in there, I was pretty intimidated just because it's a camera store. Sometimes not all people, most people in Reno are really cool, but sometimes when you go into a place like that, it's just a little intimidating, especially if you talk about something you don't really know about.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But then like for me, this is my job. So if I don't know something about it, I would feel intimidated because they might judge me because I don't know one small niche of the entire photography realm.
Right.
But everybody's super cool, really nice, which I appreciated.
I've in the time that I worked there, everybody from the owner all the way down to me being the newest guy in the company, just super nice people.
Yeah.
It's very nice. It almost feels like a family owned type thing, the way they run things, which is great. But the one here in Reno, Craig, great guy.
Yeah.
Katie in the back office makes that place run like a dream.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's in there. Even George, even though he's only a video guy and he doesn't talk much. And Eddie's super quiet.
Eddie's super cool.
Brian finally got a new car.
Did he?
Yeah, he bought a BRZ. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, 23 BRZ.
Who had that GTI?
That was him.
That was him, oh, too.
It was in an R32?
Volkswagen GTI.
Yes, yeah. But he drove that all the way to New York and back. And on the way back from New York, there was some flats. Uh-huh. And he was doing like some burnouts in there. And the car got stuck in the middle of the flats. So he had to dig it out. And then a couple weeks later after he was back, she started like just pissing oil. He couldn't find the root of the problem, working on it one problem after another, and now it's a project. Bought a BRZ.
Nice.
Yeah. The only thing is it's I love cars. Always have. That's why I like one of the jobs that I have right now.
But you don't like BRZs?
No, I love Subarus. I have a Subaru. I mean, you rode in it before. I love Subarus. I could never, ever buy a Subaru that is not all-wheel drive.
Yeah,
because BRZs are not all-wheel drive.
No, because the BRZ and the FRS, it's a joint project between Subaru and Toyota, and the only difference between the two is the badge. They're the exact same bolt for bolt, except for the badge, and they're rear-wheel drive cars. They're not even front-wheel drive. They're rear-wheel drive. And I was like, you do realize you're in Reno.
Yeah.
Right? And Brian's like, yeah, but it's cool. I was like, no, I'll give you that. It's cool. It's badass. But I could not. If I was to buy one, even though I'm a Subaru fan, I would have to get the FRS because I refuse to buy a non-all-wheel drive Subaru.
I owned a Subaru before I owned my Tacoma.
Oh, your truck's sick, by the way.
Thank you.
Both of your trucks are sick.
Yes, sir.
What do you drive? Show off.
Toyota Tundra.
Oh, nice.
It's the futuristic looking one right in front of you.
Big old screen and all that.
Yeah.
Nice. With the futuristic Silverado front end.
I don't know if I saw it.
It's got the grates. Yeah. It does. Black grates.
Yeah.
Do you what do you think of what is that? You and I were talking about the other day. That's that the electric truck, not the super truck.
Rivian?
The Rivians.
Do you like those? I don't like the headlights.
I don't like how they look. I do not like the headlights.
I'm a gas guy.
That's true.
I'm a gas guy. I mean, would I love to own a Tesla? Yeah, absolutely.
Just to say you have one or just because?
No, just because I think they're cool.
I mean, they're pretty cool.
I mean, I think owning a Lamborghini is cooler than owning a Tesla.
Okay, real quick.
Facts. You know?
Dream car? Yeah.
Porsche 911 GT3 RS.
I mean, yeah.
Money.
Great.
Yep.
Yours?
Toyota A94.
Ooh.
94.
Not the 86?
86, that's what I meant.
The Toy 86?
A86.
Like the original drift car? OG drift car, the type, the initial D?
Yep.
Absolutely. 1996 Viper Venom Hennessy 650R.
Wow, this is very specific.
It's, you know how people have like pictures of like Pamela Anderson or whatever up on their wall when they're kids?
This is your car.
No, my Dodge Viper was on the wall. I love that car so much. Dodge, if you listen to this, dude, hook it up, bro.
Give the guys some sponsorships. Give them some cars. Nikon, hop on here. Throw them some cameras.
Sure. You know what? If Nikon sponsored me, I'll say something nice about them.
You know, Fronos Photo, come jump on whenever you need.
Give me some hair secrets, bro. I'll take it all, you know?
Let's throw our fros out, yeah.
I hate to be basic with the car thing, but I would love a Lamborghini Urus.
You know what, though?
Okay, those SUVs?
You say basic, but like not a lot of people would say that. Because a lot of people would obviously go Aventador.
Yeah, or I even just like think the Urus because it's a brand new Lamborghini.
It is,
you know.
I mean, they're sick. Did you watch Top Gear?
No,
the original Top Gear. They're hard to find. The first one, with Jeremy Clarkson, James May, Richard Hammond. No. Watch the original, dude. It's so good. Like even it still holds up to test of time now. It's still really good.
Okay,
super knowledgeable. But the reason I like it so much, other than the fact that it's cars, the videography in this show is. It's just next level, dude.
Yeah, right.
The slow motion water coming off of the tires, like the light transitions. It's just
it and it's is all top supercars.
No. Not all supercars.
Oh, it's not.
No. Okay. They have like Dacias on there. Do they have like Opals on there?
Toyota Corolla.
Yeah.
Okay.
They'll review anything.
Fiat.
Smart cars.
Well, I think to be fair, Fiat. A lot of people don't know this. Fiat actually owns Ferrari and a bunch of other really big name companies. Fiat's a humongous company. Barth. Fiat of Barth.
Know what Fiat stands for. Fix it again and tow it?
Crap, because I had one.
Did it give you a lot of problems?
No, the 500L I had. No, my friend's actually driving. It's hers now.
I mean, every car brand has a thing. Like Jeeps is just empty every pocket.
My favorite one here. It only applies to here. My favorite one growing up here for Dodge, dead on Donner going east.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, there's, oh man. And then you heard the thing for boat, right? Bring out another thousand
for boats. I've just heard the two best days that you own a boat is the day you buy it and the day you sell it.
Yeah.
But I would love to have a boat, man.
I was just talking to my friend about that too. Yeah.
I just want a little 14-foot fisher.
See, I want a full on like Supra wake setter, like wakeboard boat.
So wild.
Yeah. I mean, they're really ridiculously expensive.
Yeah.
And will I ever own one? Probably not, because they're like $300,000.
You know,
but owning one of those would be pretty damn cool.
Right. I have a theory, though. I think Little Dick is going to hear this episode. He's going to feel so bad for not tagging you in this episode. He's going to buy you that boat.
Or he'll just feature me on an episode of Dave.
Dude, that'd be dope.
I
want a high-five brain.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Dave.
I'm actually thinking about taking acting classes.
I had a
photographer friend that switched all the way to acting.
Really?
All the way, just not half in, half out.
No, you all the way in, bro.
I'm just doing it because I think it sounds fun and it's something different, and I would be very uncomfortable doing it.
And then quit.
So I don't know about it. Maybe quit. If I suck and it's just like not fun, then yeah.
So I'm going to embarrass myself right now. And if you don't believe me, I can call my mom right now and you can ask her without any prep. She'll tell you. I got headhunted at the mall by those weird people that are like, you, whatever, to do acting. There's an acting school here in Reno. And I went to the school. Your first class is free, and they have like a little competition.
Did you like it?
So yes,
okay,
I did. We had an acting competition. It was kind of like a Whose Line It Is or anything. And of the 30 kids that were in there, I won, and they all voted. Like I won that thing
on your first day there.
On my first day, and my mom asked, "Do you want to do this? Do you want to like try and pursue acting, or do you want to continue to do sports?" And my dumbass said sports. but I on the record, I applied or applied. I auditioned. For a Pepsi commercial.
Did you get it?
Here in Reno. I did not. But okay. I still auditioned for it.
Because the school that I was looking at, it's got to be the same one. Because
What's it called? It's like something power, right?
No, this one's like Take Two or Take Act One, something like
Mine's
that.
Mine's older. Hmm. But mine had like kids that are in like Disney and all that kind of stuff. But I'm sure yours has to.
Yeah, that, I don't know if there's... This is the one that I found. A buddy of mine that I went to high school with has been taking classes there for the last year or so.
Genuinely.
Yeah. And the first day's free.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe they do that, though. They tell all the kids, hey, if we get a new kid in class, you guys better vote him number one so he comes back and pays the fee.
Yep, Take Two. There it is.
Yeah, that's the one I contacted.
And there's Theater Works, Scene Stealer, Serious Co-Performing, Kidscape Productions, School of the Arts, Xscape, True Talent, Voice Studio. I don't think the one that I went to is still here anymore. And, or they, I mean, they could have changed the name. It was, God, this was I was a sophomore in high school when this happened, but I had my fro.
Yeah.
So I definitely stuck out in the mall.
So you had the look to you.
I'd look like a mini Jared Polin.
Okay.
Yeah. Oi.
Just less white.
Maybe they were finding you for like a stunt double for him.
How dope would that be?
I mean, what does that dude do though that needs stunts?
I don't know. I mean, I've seen some of like his videos where he's really animated.
Yeah.
Did you notice he has a nystagmus in his eye?
No.
So like,
that's the little moving
when from somebody, side to side.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even twitchies.
Can you see straight when somebody has that?
So you can. So if I look all the way to my right like this and I deviate, they'll bounce a little bit.
Uh huh.
And it was something like, so like when I was working as a cop, we were told that like if you pull over somebody and they're, you know, been drinking whatever, you can tell the cop, hey, I have a natural nystagmus in my eye. It automatically twitches. And that invalidates, at least when I was in, that invalidated that the deviation of eye test with a pen.
Oh, if you already wow. have
it. But yeah, so if you look at him when he's, because it looks like he's just reading from cue cards really fast. Mm-hmm. But when he's like riffing with the dude in the back, I forget his name, whatever, but he's not actually reading, it still does it. He just has a very natural twitch in his eye.
I've never noticed that.
It's unfortunate that I did because I cannot see it now.
I used to watch his stuff, but I don't.
It's very faint. It's kind of like this, but it's really fast. I can't even move as fast as he does.
Yeah.
But I could be like his face standing.
You could. Yeah, because I'm at the point now where I've wanted to do so many things and I just never have tried. And
you're young,
it's like,
man.
What do I got to lose?
Here's the you're time,
young, do it. You know? Go skydiving.
And I've been getting a lot better at just not giving a shit of what people think about me. Like, I think I'm kind to people.
Yeah.
But I just, like, if I try something and maybe it doesn't work out, what's the worst that could happen?
Right.
Makes sense. Know?
Something funny too, actually, when I sent you that friend request on Facebook, like literally the next day after you accepted it,
uh-huh.
my people you should know completely changed.
Yeah. Isn't it weird how it does that?
Yeah. But it was really weird with you.
Why?
Because if people, you know, you can like swipe like this and you can go through the people, whatever, right?
Yeah.
If I swiped and there's 30 of them, there was 25 model quality women that popped up on there.
Oh,
Rosa, I didn't like any of them. Calm down. I promise. You're my favorite. But it was, I would look down, I was like, oh, you're pretty. You could be a model. And it was like, and a mutual friend, Tyler. Okay. Or chef.
Yeah.
And I'd scroll to the next one. Model for sure.
Yeah.
Chef. Model. Chef. Okay. So you ruined my algorithm pretty much just by accepting
well,
my
it's
friend.
Well, it's funny because I feel like majority of my Facebook friends are people that I've worked with.
Clients.
Or I know pretty well. Yeah. Oh, yeah, like clients.
That makes sense.
Because I went and like unadded a bunch of people on Facebook a few months ago because I got to the point where I was scrolling and I
made the cut.
And I didn't, yeah. I just didn't like know anybody. And that's the thing with like Instagram too, is sometimes with the ads and all that stuff, I like to see the photographers I follow and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I want to see like what my friends are doing, what my family's doing. Cause I have a lot of friends that aren't photographers. So, right. I like to see like, oh, you know, they were in, I don't know, San Francisco with their girlfriend or they were with their family in, you know, LA or something. And I like to see that stuff.
Yeah.
So I notice it's hard to, you kind of got to filter some things out to get things you actually want to see. Mm-hmm. Cause dude, I was going through Facebook and there was people sharing things and I clicked on their name that shared it. And I go, who the hell is this? I've never seen this person before in my life.
Right.
That's funny. So, just for the viewers, cause, when the master technician over here does the video, your social media is going to be underneath your picture.
Is there? Cool.
So for anybody who's interested in booking you or even like looking at work to see if they book you, and you absolutely should do both. You should look at his stuff. You should follow him. You should support him if you can. If you want to book a session, dude's amazing. What would be the best way to get hold of you?
Cast me up. So in my Instagram bio, there's like a little link tree and it says contact me.
Perfect.
Definitely email. I took my number off, my business cards off my website.
Smart.
Because I thought like, oh yeah, you can just text me. But then it's so hard to keep track of people that text you and Instagram. So I'm not too picky on the IG DM. I used to say like, you know, do not DM, only go here.
Yeah.
Especially because I've been working with Honeybook. Not with them. I mean, that'd be cool if I had a Honeybook sponsorship. But they're, do you know what Honeybook is? Mm-hmm. So it's just like a client management software. And it's super nice because everything is in one spot. You know, your free Chipotle gift card for your birthday and in your email doesn't get mixed up with a wedding that I have. So everything's on there. But yeah, best way is just through my contact.
I got excited when you said Chipotle, not gonna lie.
Yeah.
Someone's hungry.
Yeah, I haven't had dinner.
And then what is your
dude, I'm down for Denny's.
For real?
Yeah, do you like Denny's?
I do, but I have work tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
I know we've been talking about leaving my full-time job.
To let's talk about that. Yeah,
please.
And 2 hours into this episode, huh?
We're 2 hours in?
No, we're at like an hour 30.
Wow. Okay, this is officially the longest episode we've ever done.
All right, let's talk about this.
Because I genuinely would like, I've seen his stuff, and I genuinely think that he could make it. I genuinely would like him to pursue photography full-time, 100%.
Yeah.
So since you and I are luckily, and I say luckily because luck has a word of mouth. Luck's got a lot to do with it.
Yep.
Our skill, obviously, of course, but luck has a lot to do with it. So I would love for him to be able to go full-time.
Yeah. What are your biggest doubts or your biggest concerns?
Bills. Yes.
Okay.
And stability. Just
okay.
I'm building the money right now.
And I wasn't calling you out, but like that to make a career switch like that, biggest thing.
Yeah.
Huge. It's terrifying.
Clientele base too. I think my doubt is just like photography is such a saturated market.
It is.
And trying to just be so unique to break that niche.
Yeah.
And like, oh, I'm not going to do this style of this same person, or I don't want to match anybody else.
Yeah.
So that's my biggest gripe right now.
So I think you found your,
which I think I have style. Found. Yeah. And I think it's just now building the clientele to a point where I can be stable.
But wow. you're rare because you're hybrid, you're video and photography.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of photographers that do both. You do both.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do both.
But more hard. Like much more photo than video.
I'm more photo for sure, but I can do a video if I want to.
And how long have you been doing it for?
5-ish years.
Okay.
Yeah.
How much?
I don't really pursue the clientele. Like I do it as a hobby mostly. Yeah. So I'll shoot with a lot of local models, and we're just like word of mouth.
Paying bills is a humongous motivator, brother.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I think. Well, the one thing is too is if you don't want to go full time, I don't feel like you need to be pressured to go full time.
And I don't feel like I need to right now.
Yeah.
So I'm not at the point like I have to go full time because I'm not like actively looking for wedding clients or I'm actively looking for family shoots. Like I'll promote it every once in a while if I'm free here and there. Mm. Just,
I think the one thing that people don't talk about enough is when you go full time is that in any capacity that you did it before, unless you were just grinding, like shooting every single day, editing nonstop, your free time was non-existent, is once you make the switch to full time and your livelihood depends on it, it's a lot different than just shooting for fun.
Right.
It becomes a job. In some aspects, it's still great. Like I love doing it. And the positives definitely outweigh the negatives. But like I was talking about with film, I don't know if we talked about that. Did we talk about that last week or this week?
Last
week. Cause film, I don't really share a lot of my film work. It's just kind of for myself. Cause I enjoy doing it.
Right.
I like going with my girlfriend to new places or on the coast in California and just going slow, taking stuff. And if nobody sees it, cool. But I can look back on it, years later. But if you don't want to go full time, I don't think you should feel like you have to.
I think there is a point in a photographer's like span where they know they can go full time.
Yeah,
and I don't think I've hit that yet.
Yeah, so I think like,
you'll know when you hit like a certain clientele or like people start booking you. Like you're getting a flood of Instagram DMs. Yeah. Like, can you help me shoot this? Can you help me shoot that? And then like you start seeing that clientele coming in, and you're just like, oh man, I might have to jump ship and just go full time.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen the influx of that coming in yet.
That shows control, and I think that's going to be very important for you when you do it. Like
I
moved, like a lot of people ask me why I moved from Hawaii here. One, my family is here. I lived in Hawaii for like 11 years.
Yeah.
Moving back here, so when COVID hit, Hawaii was very militant about staying in your houses. Like you couldn't go anywhere, and I had my apartment was the same size as room I'm right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was stuck in this room for a year straight. Got really good at video games. But I decided during that time, I was like, you know what? I'm not getting any younger. I think I was like 31 when I moved back. I was like, you're 32. I was like, I'm going to try it. Screw it. Because if worst comes to worst, I live with my parents. Who cares? So I came back to start my own thing or whatever, it took me probably like a year and a half to have like a consistent income.
Yeah.
But I mean, some people hit it in like a month. Some people it takes 5 or 10 years.
Right.
But I genuinely think, and like whenever I book a wedding, I always pitch you as my videographer, like every client that I've had so far this year that has even approached me about the possibility, I pitch you as a package. Cause I, like I said, I really think that you could going out the deep end is one way to do it, but it's definitely not the safest way to do it for sure.
Right.
I know you got big boy bills like we all do.
Yeah.
But if you decide to do it, man, you got my support for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
You really
got mine too.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if you take like a 6 month, because no month is going to be the same.
Right.
No. You know, for me, December and October and May look way different.
Yeah. Right.
October's huge. December is not.
Definitely that's do not try to go in the deep end in the winter, though.
That's yeah. just how it goes. But I think if you take like a 6 month to 12 month sample size,
yeah.
you know, obviously keep track of what your income is. You take an average of the 12 months and then compare right. that to what you're making at your normal job, and then if it's close enough to where you can still
then
afford,
you can be like yeah
yeah. But then also you got to realize when you go full time entrepreneur working for yourself, you got health insurance, you got taxes,
right.
you got business insurance, you got liability, you got a yeah. bunch of stuff that you kind of get depending on where you work.
Right.
But you have perk packages at normal jobs, you
yep.
know what I mean?
Yep.
So that's kind of something
which
to
I
consider.
Love.
Yeah.
So I would also definitely recommend looking into PPA membership.
Yes, we talked about it on I think 2 weeks
I actually
ago.
Just I when I that was like the first question that Harley asked. They're like, "Do you have insurance?" I was like, "Yeah, and I have a license."
Yeah.
And they're like, "No, photography was." I was like, "Oh yeah, no, you guys are good."
Yeah.
I will admit PPA is a little expensive. But it's yearly.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely worth it. Luckily, I haven't had a chance. I haven't had a need to use it yet. But it covers equipment damage.
Right.
Yep. Like if we're in this room right now and that camera falls over and hits that thing or whatever, like it doesn't matter. It covers that too. It covers that.
Some corner or something. Yeah. Whatever.
It covers data loss as well. Memory card craps out. They help cover it covers a lot
See,
of
that's
stuff.
Nice.
And there's a lot of, like, when I was starting out, I would never buy a new piece of equipment until the old one paid itself off.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that way, to me, it's showing that there is profit to be had there. And it's the same with this kind of stuff, mm-hmm. too. Yeah, there's a lot of investment in the beginning. Marketing. Don't waste your money on a website.
Right.
That's me personally. Because my website, like I said, my website got hacked the other
yep.
day.
I wouldn't say you need it. But
yeah.
it is nice to have.
It is nice. It's nice to say that you
it's
have.
It's an extra,
sure.
right? Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost just, it's like a, it's extra perk,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
but you don't need it. The biggest thing is building a clientele and then making connections.
Right.
So if you do want to shoot weddings, hit up every single wedding planner, every single wedding coordinator, every single wedding venue,
yep.
send them, even if it's not work that you've done at their venue, just say, "Hey,
this is what I do. Yeah.
This is what I do. If you have an opportunity, if you have an open spot on your vendor list, I would love to be a part of it." You could give, you know, kickbacks to other wedding vendors. So,
right.
You get in contact with a wedding coordinator and say, "Hey, I'll throw you a couple $100 for every client you send my way and I
right.
book." So that's just another way to just start building a client base and just get it going.
You know, a huge untapped market for that and that exact topic,
mm-hmm.
seamstresses.
Oh yeah.
Go
yeah.
to any alteration place, drop out business cards. I never see them anywhere. And people go in there all the time to get their dresses fixed. I guarantee half of the time they're like, "Oh yeah, you know," they could talk, or they're thinking like, "Oh man, I still gotta go pick up the cake. I gotta find a photographer." Bam, business card.
Yeah.
Right.
You could just like straight up cold call a lot of businesses, yep. law firms, mm-hmm. doctor's offices
yep.
and say, "Hey, do you guys need headshots or do you need shots of the building
right.
or shots of equipment?" Things like that. And then from there you do that and then you shoot one of their weddings. And then from there you shoot XYZ and so,
start building. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a building process. Yeah.
It's just networking.
Yep.
Talking to people at weddings and
right.
Yeah. Doing that sort of thing.
Unfortunately, right. there will probably be a lot of FTP in your future and like building a portfolio and stuff like that. I mean, you've been doing it for 5 years, so you have one for sure. But I mean, I got like 3 or 4 models that I usually use for like testing new equipment and stuff. And they just like having their pictures taken for free. And they're all amateur models. And I guarantee I could talk to them. And
right.
Don't kill me for asking this. What is FTP?
Sorry, TFP.
Wow, TFP.
Good call. Yeah. You still, okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
time for print.
Okay.
So you and a model get together, take pictures.
Yeah. Like
you
a
get
trade.
To use the picture. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
You get to use her pictures for your portfolio. She gets to use her pictures for her portfolio. There's no money exchanged.
Right.
It's usually a verbal contract between the two. There's no, you have full rights to the pictures and they have full rights to the pictures.
Right.
Yeah. It's just, I did that for 2 years in Hawaii. I still had paid gigs once in a while, but I was doing free shoots all the time. Model Mayhem, did you ever go on there?
I know about the site, yeah.
Model Mayhem is treacherous, bro. Like they have models on there from, I think, like 15 or 16 years old all the way to like 50 or 60 years old. Tattoo models, swimsuit models, professionals, amateurs, all kinds of stuff. And photographers are also
too,
on
yeah.
there. It does, yeah.
Does it?
I still get emails once in a while. I thought I shut down my account.
Never.
You can find photographers on there. You can literally search like Reno tattoo, and every tattoo model, whether professional or not, pops up. You can choose an age range.
Wow.
I'm looking for like a 35 to a 40 year old woman. Bam, it all populates for you. in theory, it sounds really cool, but I'm talking the infrastructure of this website is like day one MySpace.
Oh, so it's pretty bad.
It looks janky. It looks sketch, but I got a lot of work off of that.
Yeah.
When I first started.
Yeah.
And apparently I'm still getting emails.
You're still signed up to the apparently, email list.
You know, I still have a Facebook. I deleted my Facebook like 15 years ago. I thought I deleted it, but apparently it's still real. But if you search me, it's still there. Oh yeah. There's an embarrassingly old picture of me on the profile. Don't look for it. People can't spell my name. It doesn't matter. I don't even know why I'm hiding it. Nobody can spell my name, right?
Nope. Not at all.
Yeah. Anything else for the young Padawan here? We didn't even get to Star Wars.
No, not even
get to Star Wars.
No, maybe the next episode.
I would say, I mean, unless you're genuinely really unhappy at your job.
Right.
Like at your normal, is it like a 9-to-5 thing? Or,
yeah.
Yeah. If you're genuinely unhappy, then I would say put in 6 months to a year of just grinding, right. Networking.
Right.
I feel like a hypocrite kind of saying that because I got in at a really good time because mm-hmm. the market was not as saturated as it is now. And it was not planned. It just kind of happened. And it was really the only thing that I was doing. I was living at my parents' house. I had no bills.
Right.
Maybe like a credit card for $100 a month or something like yeah. that. But then once it started going, then I just started networking more and things like that. And it was fun. And I didn't have anything else that was making me money. So it was kind of like,
that was the only way you'll get money.
Yeah.
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 Definitely, build like a, what are they called? A targeted resume.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like a lot of people, when you go to school or whatever, in high school, college, whatever, they teach you to build like a blanket resume that's appealing to everybody. Build a target one specifically for photography and a target one specifically for videography. Go on Indeed.
Yep.
And just upload it. I've been headhunted for companies for corrections too, which sucks because I'm never going to do that again. But people hit me up from like Life Touch and things like that, which right. I also won't do. But I mean, it's yeah. jobs. Something yep. to get your foot in the door. It's definitely, I mean, just honestly, it's casting a wide net and catching one fish. Because all it takes is the right client to just launch you.
Yeah. Right.
Whether it's landscape or portraits.
And you don't need to spread yourself too thin. Like if there's something that you don't want to photograph, you don't have to.
Right.
If you only want to shoot natural light stuff, only shoot natural light stuff. If you only want to shoot studio lighting, you know, only flash stuff, only shoot that.
Right. Get into
cars. You don't need to know.
Not about it.
Yeah. You could do cars. Like you don't need to know everything.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I don't know everything.
Right.
You know,
I do.
I know how to work. I know how to work natural light. I know how to work the sun and I know how to talk to people.
Right.
And that's.
Sometimes that's all you need.
Yeah. He's pretty handy behind the camera. He's all right.
I'm okay.
No, I do post like on Pexels. I talked about Pexels.
Yeah, yeah.
I finally hit a million something, 1.1 million downloads.
Yeah, downloads.
Or not downloads, views. And I'm at like some odd downloads.
What is that?
Pexels is like a free stock photography page.
Oh, okay. That's
they
what
they can
thought.
Donate to you. Like you can put your PayPal account with it. So I do have that on there. I don't know who pays me for it.
Imagine if everybody that viewed your stuff just
paid me $1. Yeah.
You,
bro, that'd be
yeah.
so
we,
nuts.
If that happened, we'd be asking you questions.
I know, right? Right?
How do I become a millionaire?
But like they have like a top rank for like the past 30 days. I'm like 500 something.
Fuck yeah, dude.
So I'm like,
Didn't Peter McKinnon cool. start with stock too?
He did, yeah. He but it was a, I don't know what stock. It might have been like, what is a
his product stuff is fire though.
PNG. What's the product?
Adobe stock?
No. There was a famous stock page that everybody would go to that I can't think of.
Shutter. No. I thought it was
Shutter. Yeah, Shutter. Shutterfly.
Shutterstock.
Shutterstock. Shutterstock. Shutterfly is a different thing. Yeah, Shutterstock. Yeah,
one of those.
Because Adobe yeah. stock, Shutterstock, Pixels, and I think there's like two or three others. They're the big like five.
Yeah. But yeah. Just posting on there and just seeing statistics is like, I could do this full time.
Yeah.
So it depends too, because like a lot of the stuff I post, there's landscape or yeah. not people.
I think you might have found your niche already, buddy.
I might have.
Because honestly, I think, and this is just my opinion, like everything on the show is in case anybody's.
Right. Guessing.
I think it's just as hard to specifically find a good stock photo that could be used by a bunch of people as it is to nail that one unique shot to make that one unique client happy.
Right.
Because there's so much preparation. There's so much stuff that goes into it, you know? And so, but the people that make it, there's been a couple of people that I've met that make, you know, $6,000 to $10,000 a month And they upload like one or two new pictures every like 3 or 4 days.
Yep.
But they make a name for themselves in it, and people search for them specifically. They're also on every single one: Shutterstock, Adobe Stock, Pexel, all of them. But
and you just never know. Yeah.
You set it up in the house, take the picture, bam, whatever. Just sit back and just cha-ching.
Yeah, and you also got to be okay with uncertainty.
Yeah.
Meaning no paycheck.
You have no idea.
Yeah. Every 2 weeks. Right. Personally, I don't mind it.
It's kind of fun.
I think for me, the coolest thing about life is the uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like to be certain about certain things, but I like that I don't really know what the next year holds. I know like the weddings that I have on the calendar and certain things that I have planned, but I like that my life or work or whatever I'm doing could be in a completely different place in a year.
Right.
I know I'm going to still have the same relationships and same people that I'm surrounded with, which I like.
Right.
I think I'd be scared if I didn't know that. But, yeah, I just think that's fun because it kind of keeps you on your toes, keeps you fresh.
You could be shooting Sony in a year. You could be,
that is probably, I mean, I would shoot on like an FX3 or something for video.
Oh dude.
But other than that, I don't think you will ever catch me shooting wedding photo on a Sony.
I see. And that's the thing. Like when Callie asked me, so Callie came here, she only had one body.
Yeah.
She always has two. But she forgot one of them at home. She thought she packed. She didn't. That's why she asked for my camera to use. And I was like, switching from Canon to Sony is a big thing in the first place. Switching from Sony to Canon is the same thing. I'm not saying Sony's better than Canon, but to shoot a wedding
on a foreign body
and a foreign lens. She's never shot Sigma ever.
Tough.
Yeah. Tough. And the interesting, she showed me the preview. She showed me like this little preview picture of the wedding she shot. Of the 50 pictures that she took, 49, I'm not joking, 49 of them were with my Sony. One of them were with a Canon. And I did guess wrong. That game we were talking about earlier, I would be trashed.
That would be a shot for you.
It'd be a shot.
Happening. It would be a shot for you.
So actually, that's a good idea. If you guys think it'd be funny to watch us do a video, the three of us, because we all came up with the idea, so you'd come back.
Okay. Yep.
You guys can submit pictures to us. We can look at it, and we have to guess if it's Sony, Nikon, Canon, Fuji, iPhone,
whatever. Yeah.
We just have to guess. If we guess right, we're good. If we guess wrong, we have to take a drink.
I think if you do decide that we all should play this game, please just somebody upload a photo on a Polaroid camera.
Oh my God.
So that way we can at least get one right.
Right.
You know?
We get it wrong.
You can tell if it's like OG Polaroid because it's, you know, square.
Right.
Or if it's like a little Fuji Instax, like the mini ones. See,
but they could sneak in like a Yashica, like a media format.
Yeah, they could. Or they could just really be mean and take a photo and then cut out what's in the Polaroid and then, you know, glue in or tape in something that's shot.
I'm beginning to regret this thing because, like, what if somebody takes a picture and they make it look like a daguerreotype type shot, like through Photoshop?
I don't know that. I'm down.
It'll be fun. It'll be a fun game. Yeah.
Maybe we'll drink a little bit less, but we'll keep points, and then the loser has to do something.
Yeah. Right.
Something like that. Also, before we go, did you have anything else for him?
I don't think so.
I mean, this is not the last time we're all going to talk together.
No.
Yeah.
But what if we also wanted to do like a month long photo competition for us and all of our listeners and any of our guests?
Maybe we'll start from July.
That'd be good, yeah. So we were put out like the first one could be like sunsets or macro or minimalist or whatever, black and white. And everybody can submit their pictures. We'll take all the pictures. We'll put them up on our social medias without any names. And people can vote on which one is their favorite. Okay. And if one of us win, cool, we won. If somebody else won that isn't, you know, somebody that's been on the show or one of us, then we'll give them like a print
prize,
or something. Yeah. As a prize or whatever.
Yeah.
Would you be down to do that?
Hell yeah.
Because we definitely... the photography community here in Reno is very unique, I think. Mm-hmm. And I really just want to bring everybody together for it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like there's gotta be a similarity for people. We all shoot at the same places.
Yep.
You know, even we have our secret places, we all shoot at the same places.
Yeah.
So I think it'd be really cool.
I think it would be cool too.
Can help us critique some photos.
Sure.
Which reminds me, we need to do Paul's video.
Oh yeah.
Fuck. He paid us already too. One of my buddies said he hit a photographic rut. excuse me, and he wanted us to look at his pictures and kind of like give him some tips if there's even any to be had at all.
Yeah.
He
might do it next week.
He made like 5 folders, portraits.
Wow! So he's prepared.
Bikes. Oh yeah, he's ready, and he paid us for it. He's like, how much? He's like, I'll pay you. I was like, I don't. Okay. And I asked for a random amount, and he said okay. So
nice.
I don't think that's gonna be a podcast episode though. I think we'll do that. Like, we might come in here and do it, but I don't think it's gonna be a podcast episode because we want him. I want it to be like real time feedback for him. But if we can find a time, I think you would be qualified to kind of give him a good tip, like sure. advance too, if you wanted to do that.
I mean, Tuesday's
7. A great time. Yeah,
Tuesday's a 7.
Yeah. Anytime you guys need, I can't probably be here every Tuesday, but.
Oh, no, for sure. I say we're pretty stocked on episodes right now. Once we have 52, because that's the first season.
Yeah.
So once we have 52, which is going to be in like 2 months.
Yeah.
Once a week. Once we have 52, we'll take a break, and that's when we're going to start planning like season 2 and things like that. So,
yeah. Okay. More fun stuff.
Love it. I love it.
Yeah. It'll be good.
Yeah. That's good stuff.
Cool. How long was this?
Almost 2.
Almost wow. 2 hours, bro. Joel's going to be so mad because we're only supposed to be in time. Joel, you're amazing. I appreciate it, buddy.
If you made it this far,
I am proud of you. And
if you made it this far and you're not subscribed,
right? We never even plugged that in a long time.
Are you on Apple and Spotify? Yeah,
Apple, Spotify,
podcast, yeah, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube.
So if you are not subscribed on YouTube or you do not have this favorited or saved on, I don't know what Apple Music is. I know on Spotify it's favorited.
Yeah. There it is.
There you go.
Yeah. I don't know what you're doing. That's what I was trying to say.
That'll be a fun little edit. I ran out of space on my memory card. Wow. That's why I have backups.
Wow.
Tyler's still here, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still here. Had a great time. Thanks for having me on. Yeah,
thanks for being here.
Are we wrapping this up?
Yeah, I guess. Okay. Yeah, we're going to go get Denny's.
Yeah, that's right.
Are you for real with Denny's?
I don't even know what time it is.
10.
10:30.
Oh man, I think it's a little too late. Oh, it's probably.
It's never too late for Denny's. It's 24 hours.
True. If I didn't have a girlfriend and a dog at home,
you can invite them. I love dogs.
I mean, she's got work at like 5 a.m. So.
Oh, you're off tomorrow. Take it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I got picks in the evening, but.
Dope. I'm off tomorrow.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Well, good for you.
I have some Diablo 4 to grind.
I gotta like edit and stuff, but.
Oh yeah.
You got some what to grind?
Diablo 4.
Diablo 4. Yeah.
And Destiny too. Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
anyway, thank you for listening for so long. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
I hope the coffee and Red Bull that you had to drink to get through this episode was worth it. Definitely appreciate you.
Go get a scoop of ice cream out of the freezer or something.
That's about what I'm going to do.
I love some ice cream right now.
Yep.
Thanks, Chef, for coming on the show. Yeah, you're amazing, dude. Chef. Super awesome.
It was really fun.
Cook us carving some
time out
of
your schedule. Really appreciate it.
Homemade pasta.
Super down low. And here I was offering top ramen. What a shit bag. You're all right, guys. Thank you so much, and we'll see you guys next week.
Later.